Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Also known as meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. And hello and welcome to the Gospel Freedom Podcast. This is Christianity 601, and today we are talking about Ecclesiastes. This is one of the most important books in understanding how the world works. My name is Mitchell Parker, and before we get into things, let's have a little bit of a preview of what's coming right up. What gift would you like? And he says, wisdom. You know these things are going to happen. What this book is putting to you as a whole is, what next? So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Ecclesiastes is actually personally one of my favourite books to read. And I like it for a few reasons. Firstly, because it's a great tool for everyone. But secondly, it's a great piece of biblical literature, words by God, explaining how life works and why things the way that they are. Now, at the top, I read to you from the New King James Version, which translates a Hebrew word, literally vapor, as vanity. Other translations have, of course, translated this as meaningless, as I just read before, and that was from the New International Version. And the reason behind that is because the original Hebrew word, as I said, is vapor. And what is vapor? Well, it's there 1 minute, and the next is gone. Can't see, and it just disappears. Why is this book beginning with vanity, right? Which means basically meaningless, nothing important. Well, what does the next part say? And once again, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and this is verse 3. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Verse 4. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. Well, that's quite clear. You work, you die, you work, you die, and so on and so on. Right? Verses 10 and 11 extend on this. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been done in ancient times for us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. So there you go. It starts with a very clear introduction that really everything just happens. And you have people, and they have people, and they have people, and it just happens, right? Okay, well, what do we do, right? Well, what does the author do? Now, the author identifies himself as a king of Israel, and most commonly this is associated with Solomon. And why is that? Well, I didn't do all the different stories of Israel in the Bible in my summary of Israel in Christianity 401, but Solomon is quite a famous king in Israel. He is the main king who is known for wisdom because God asked him, hey, you're a king. You're my special king, and what gift would you like? And he says, wisdom. And there are a few events of him showing his wisdom that are recorded in the Bible. But this is one where he is going into depth in this. So basically, we start from the premise of the world has things, and it repeats these things. And so what do we do to gain meaning? Well, what does the author say here? Well, the first thing he does is, well, he has pleasure. He says, why don't I laugh, and why don't I drink wine, and why don't I just, you know, just enjoy life and talk about stuff and drink wine? And I was like, well, nah, that doesn't really work for me. It doesn't really give me any meaning, right? So what does Solomon try to do next? Well, he makes things. Well, surely he's a legacy in making things. He can build houses, he can plant vineyards, and gardens, and orchards, and have everything in them. He can make pools to water the trees, he can have servants of all kinds, he can have lots of gold and silver and herds of animals. He can have singers and dancers and all these things. But guess what? Solomon was going to die anyway. All this wasn't going to matter anyway, because he was going to die. Then he thinks about his wisdom and thinks, well, I've got wisdom. What about that man who is really silly and really stupid and just doesn't acknowledge intelligence? Well, guess what? They both have the same things happen to them. They both live and they both die. And he has all these things, and he's going to die, and he thinks, well, hang on a minute, I didn't just die, I don't just lose all these things, but someone else gets these things. I put in all this work, and look, someone else is enjoying this. He thinks, and then, of course, he goes specific to his works and thinks, well, why don't we just eat and drink, and that's pretty good. He thinks about working and eating and drinking, thinks, well, that's pretty good, there's some meaning there, until he realizes, oh, wait, we eat and drink, and then we die, and the same thing happens. So he's tried having all the things in the world, he's tried building all the things in the world, he's tried just being a regular person, and, well, everyone has the same fate. In chapter 3, there's the famous passage of, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And I could read that to you, but there are times for this and this and times for this and this and times for this and this. In the next few parts of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is going into depth of all those things talked about before. How you can do this, but eventually you die, and you do this and eventually die, and you do this and eventually die. He does land on some really important points, particularly in chapter 5. Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, or do not utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. So there it is, pretty clear. You say something, you should do it. And this is one of the things with Ecclesiastes, is there are so many different messages within this. There's one part of how things are, and also how you should act based on what Solomon has observed. One of the things that we can see in Ecclesiastes is there's a lot of different proverbs in here, and hence why there is a book called Proverbs, where there are different little bits of facts within the verses of that book, and that book, of course, is part of the Bible. And of course, at the middle section of Ecclesiastes, it's an expansion of that beginning passage that I spoke about. There is a particularly important part, which is titled in the New King James Version, As Death Comes to All, and this is verses 5 and 6 of chapter 9. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward. For the memory of them is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy have now perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything under the sun. It's saying quite clearly that we know we're going to die, and people are forgotten. And you're thinking, oh dear, this is a really depressing book. Goodness me, what about Jesus? He talks about life and living and all this. The Bible's just telling you exactly how things are. Of course, there is one part missing, which is the whole point of this book. It's all these propositions are put forward assuming that there is no God, which is, of course, a foolish proposition. But it's saying that you know these things are going to happen. What this book is putting to you as a whole is, what next? So you live and you die, and now what? What do you do with that information? Chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes gives you quite a pointed reminder of why you should turn to Jesus. I'm going to read to you that whole section about that in chapter 12. From, of course, the New King James Version, as I've used quite a few times throughout these podcasts. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim. When the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low. When one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of height, and the terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosened, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. Well, that was pretty heavy. It's telling you, well, guess what? The world is going to go down and all these things are going to stop working, and you better get to God before this happens, because once it happens, it's too late. This is the end times that are being described, and all these things are almost going to hell. You should get to God before that, because by then it's almost too late, because the world has been destroyed, or at least any of its normal utility value has been destroyed because people have destroyed it. The rest of chapter 12 continues on that theme, which tells you, well, you should keep God's commandments. This is exactly what we should be doing, because God tells us. I'll read to you verses 12 to 14, because I think they're quite important. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so God's clearly telling you here, well, I'm going to judge everything, and you better be on my side, because every secret thing is going to be revealed. And with that, that is the end of Ecclesiastes. It's not the longest book in the Bible, but it is quite full of meaning, and I didn't go through all of it, because you can go read for yourself the expansions on the ideas that I have described, because, of course, this book goes into depth into all of those ideas. But I just wanted to give you quite a good overview of this book, because it's quite important, and it does answer so many questions that people have, which is, why would God create this earth? Why would he do all these things? Why would he make people and allow them to do all these things? And the reason is because, well, God loves us, and he wants to give us an opportunity to turn to him. And in the meantime, well, all these things happen, and you kind of see why they're pointless, because everything leads to judgment. Every secret thing, whether good or evil, it's quite clear. So that was Ecclesiastes, and this was Christianity 601. Next time on Christianity 701, we're going to talk about the Psalms, and there is a lot more to the Psalms than meets the eye. And of course, if you think that Ecclesiastes, one book, oh, that was a bit too in-depth for me. I'm not sure I can handle any more. Well, guess what? We're going to go to more in-depth, because there are hundreds of Psalms, which are, of course, the chapters of the Book of Psalms. So there's going to be plenty more to listen to, and don't worry, not out of your depth, because I'm going to go through quite a few of the Psalms that matter, and of course what we can take from the Psalms in the next episode of the Christianity 101 series. And of course, that's not now, that's next time, so make sure you tune in to the next episode of the Gospel Freedom Podcast. Well, I hope you have taken something godly from this, and as always, if you've got any questions, make sure to ask me, but ask God first. I can, of course, direct you to where you can find God's answer to your question. And this book certainly throws up lots of questions, but of course, in equal measure, it throws up the answers. But that's all I have to say for now, and goodbye, and God bless.